May the meditation of my heart and the words that I share help us to see God's presence in ways that we can grasp and that can transform us. Amen. Amen. We all have fragments in our life. Our life is bits and pieces and little episodes. But what helps hold our life together is our story, our personal story. Or you might pick up a book. This morning, the book club met. There's all these little things that happen within the book. But the main plot helps hold the book together. It gives it its context. It gives us its character. It gives us something to increase our imagination and take us places. Our faith has sacred stories. We encountered one this morning in the text. The story of the people that were kept as slaves and under harsh conditions. And through a series of events, were led out from bondage and found themselves in the wilderness. Our sacred stories were stories that were probably told verbally, especially the first five books that we call the Old Testament or the Hebrew Scriptures. Because people were not skilled at writing and capturing their stories, their main way of gathering was to gather, and the wise one would sit or stand and tell the story that was told to them, and that was told to them, and told to them. The first five books are traditionally accredited to Moses sitting down and writing. But when biblical scholars look at those books, they see that Moses dies before he finished writing. So we have some questions about exactly the nature of those stories. Where we believe they're communal communications to help gather the fragments of life into a way to express something that was unexpressible. Today's scripture comes from a version called The Message. These stories have interpreters. People interpret the ancient stories that were written in ancient language of Hebrew or what's called Koine Greek. And it's been interpreted for us through many different versions. And the version today, The Message, one person paraphrased the whole Bible from beginning to end in his way of trying to explain to us what that old story might translate into today's life. His name is Eugene Peterson. He's listed as an American-born clergyman, a scholar, an author, and a poet. And he's written over 30 books, including his paraphrase of the Bible. I like the message sometimes. I like the way it read today. I like for us to see that Moses was quite feisty. Moses was not passive. Moses just didn't follow directions, but really engaged with what he considered the voice of God. Are you going to be with us or not? You asked me to lead this people. Are you going to help me? Are you going to be present? Are we doing this together? It's good to see the reality that was captured in this translation. It's good to see that the people in the Old Testament, and I'll say, even though not real, and I'll explain that in a minute, are real enough that we can enter into being engaged by them. They're characters in a story. They are characters in a story with very complex lives. Moses was a murderer. Moses did things he shouldn't have done. Moses goes on and on. In fact, well, we're not even sure there was a Moses. Let me just first talk a little bit about Abraham, because he's another character that we would encounter if we read the scriptures. And again, feisty. Moses had a big, I wouldn't call it a dialogue. He and God were head to head. God was angry and was going to destroy a city. And Abraham said, what if I found 50 just people? Would you destroy it if I found 50? God said, well, all right, no, no, no. But what, wait. What if I found 40? If I found 40 just people, would you destroy the whole city? And what about the 40 people? Okay, God said, all right. Well, 30, how about 30? Well, Abraham was able to whittle God down to if there were 10 just people in that city, God would not destroy the city. And that's where we get the concept of minyan. In order for a Jewish assembly to have a worship service, there needs to be 10 men present. Because you need 10 righteous people in order for there to have this praise of God. I'm going to tell you a little side story. I was part of an interfaith group. I studied with the rabbi, and one Friday I came to his synagogue to be part of the service. And when we counted up, there were 9 men and me. We did not have the service.
Whoa.
And I'll go back to Moses. Do you remember Superman? Do you remember Superman? I grew up with Superman. I loved Superman. Superman was my superhero. I watched Superman. But over my lifetime, there have been many, many Supermans. Even though the plot line stayed relatively the same, it varied depending on who wrote the movie or the script. The character stayed relatively the same. Different actors played the part. And that's what I mean when we say we're not sure Moses was one man, because his lifespan, what he did, was just too huge. It was too huge. So what we find in the scriptures is a compilation of the character of Moses and the storyline and the content. I'm going to take another little sideline, which is an advertisement. At the end of March, there's going to be another event similar to the one we had last weekend, an event where we get to know one another, but this time we'll get to know a little bit more about our faith and have fun. And it's called the Bibliodrama. Over a meal, and we'll figure out what that meal might be. It might be potluck, it might be 5 big pots of soup, or somebody making a bunch of spaghetti and everybody throwing their favorite sauce in one pot. Who knows? We'll work it out. But during that time, we'll open up one of these sacred stories, we'll get into the character, and then we will become the character. And we will give the character our own interpretation from our own life event. And we'll see where that story goes for us, because it will be contextual and contemporary, and it will be we are entering into the story. And what I want to share with you is that we are supposed to enter into the story. The Bible is not a book to be read, but it's a door to enter into the story and wrestle with what goes on in the same way that Moses and Abraham wrestled with God and asked questions and wrestle with what you see there and see if it makes sense. Some of the stuff that did not make sense, we said, wait a minute, we're not going there. We don't condone slavery. No, we don't condone multiple wives, etc. So it's an invitation again. At the end of March, we'll have an opportunity as a group to enter into the story together. But what I'd like to talk about today is a new story. I'd like to talk about maybe a story that's more relevant for us today. This week I watched a video by one of today's modern theologians, Robert Bell. It was a YouTube video, a 2-hour presentation. Excuse me. And it was fascinating. And I want to share with you the gist of it. And if you're interested, I will put the YouTube link in the bulletin for next week so that you can watch it also. But this is the story as Rob Bell has interpreted it for us. And it goes like this. Can you hear me? Oh, this is so exciting. In the beginning, and by the beginning I mean time equals zero, before there was time, before there was space, there was a singularity. There was a point. Don't ask me to explain the point, but in this point was everything that ever will exist. Some of you might know it as the Big Bang. And in this point was everything that ever will exist. And there was a Big Bang. And 3 minutes after the Big Bang, there was what was called particles. Something from the energy of that Big Bang began to form what we call now subatomic particles. And anybody who knows physics, these are like, they're finding over 150 little things like charms, quarks, things you probably didn't study in school because it's so new. It took over 300 billion years before the particles began to find affinity with one another, the energy began to subside enough in the heat. It was still way, way, way over the heat of the sun. For these particles to start to come together and form atoms. Little atoms. Hydrogen. Little atom. Group of little positive things and a little negative thing and 300 billion years to get there. And the atom was nothing like the particle. It had its own characteristics. But yet it was related to the particle, but it was different. And it took, and I don't remember the timeline, but whoa, over here, before a few atoms found affinity with one another and began to come together to form a molecule. They began to get close enough, be together enough, figure out somehow that they could stick together and make a new thing. So if you had a hydrogen and you had an oxygen, when they got together over here, H2O, they formed water. Again, a new thing. A new thing. Not related to the other, but different. And we keep moving this way. Because in time, billions and billions and billions of years, these atoms got together and somehow formed something that came into life. Created life. Created a cell, DNA, little protoplasm, a little amoeba, a little... Are you with me? You kind of right? And again, billions and billions and billions of years we come. We appear. Human. If this was a 24-hour clock, humans appear in this story at the 11th hour, before midnight, the 59th minute, and the 59th, and I don't think it's a nanosecond, it's a fraction of a second, 59th over 60th of a second is when humans appear. And something amazing happens. We develop the ability to be aware of ourselves, to think, to create, to imagine, to store that tree and make it come out in a product, to meditate. This is amazing. So we're different from life, that was different from the molecules, that was different from the atoms, that was different from the particle, and that was all contained in the singularity at the beginning of time. I told my 8-year-old grandson, I said, you're made of stardust. You know what he did? He gave me the eye. Grandma, you're nuts. And I don't know if any of you are giving me the eye. That's why I took my glasses off. I can't see. But you might be. And again, I say, I'll post the video. You can watch the 2-hour version. But I found this fascinating. And then Rob Bell, being a pastor, put it in the context of our sacred story. Put it in the context of our sacred story. So we quoted some scripture. Jesus came and he said, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. We read the Gospel of John, and it was at our candlelight service at Prestine Woodbine. We had a minister from the past, the present, and to come. It was Walter Ridley, who was there way back when Woodbine joined Prestine, myself, and then Emily. And we all talked on the John passage. In the beginning was the Word. There was nothing made without the Word. All things came into being through the Word. And the Word dwells with us. And in the original Greek, the word means logos. Logos is an organizing principle, that which gives order and form and makes things happen. And so Rob Bell said, what made this thing, what made this story move from here all the way over to here? Energy, spiritual light. And he went on through a whole bunch of possibilities. He says, and some people call it God. God at work, the Spirit of God moving through God's creation. Pulling us, God's not finished, pulling us into God's future. Pulling us over here. Pulling. Now, I don't want to say he was naive. He was not naive. It's not all positive. Rob Bell was very clear to say that 94% of what we know as the universe doesn't exist. It's black hole. It's dark. We might say evil. And he went on to explain that even though there's evil, we experience things that are destructive, we experience things that pull us backwards, somehow good overcomes. I mean, we have that example with Jack Layton. Love trumps hate. Trump. I'm going to make another little aside. Did you see the woman's march? Did you see the thousands and thousands and thousands of women that stood up to say, love trumps hate? In Washington, D.C., in Boston, in Los Angeles, in Paris, in Berlin, even in Antarctica, women put on their little pink hats and took a picture saying, love trumps hate. And we can talk about this at another time, but I just want you to know, Rob Bell was not being naive. He was not being naive by saying, this is a positive movement this way. But what he then put before us is, if humans developed from life, what happens when humans have an affinity for one another? What happens when the human community comes together? What happens when we break down barriers and hate and resistance and anything that comes between us and open our mind and our heart to the next phase? What happens when we come here? And again, he said, Jesus gave us a glimpse of that. Around the communion table, he said, you are my body. You are my blood. You are my expression. I share my life with you in a very powerful, mysterious way. And around my table, there is no Jew and no Greek and no male and no female. You are one in Christ. And I'm pulling you into the future. I'm pulling you into the kingdom of God. I'm pulling you into something new that has not yet come into being. But we will be a part of it. Just as the particle, the atom, the molecule, life, consciousness, we are moving towards this new thing. What happens when there is human community? What happens when two congregations come together? What is that? Uh-oh. Oh, I talked too long. To be continued.